President Donald Trump recently signed an executive order requiring colleges and universities that receive federal funding to guarantee protections for free speech on campus. It's a move that the president first mentioned in 2017 when protests led the University of California at Berkeley to cancel a planned speech by the controversial conservative speaker Milo Yiannopoulos. Erwin Chemerinsky is a dean of UC Berkeley's law school and an expert on the issue of free speech issues on college campuses. He recently visited the University of Hawaii's Richardson Law School and stopped by the HPR studios to talk with the conversation's Ryan Finnerty.
The First Amendment says that Congress shall make no law abridging freedom of speech. This has been taken to mean, quite broadly, that the ability of a person to express himself or herself, the ability of a person to read what the person wants, to view what the person chooses, is generally protected by the Constitution. It's not an absolute right. Long ago, Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes said there's no right to falsely shout fire in a crowded theater, but it's certainly regarded as one of the most fundamental and precious liberties.
College campuses, universities, have always been held up as a bastion of free thought and new ideas, but in the modern day, we've seen accusations that has eroded a little bit.
I think that college campuses should be the epitome of the place where freedom of speech occurs. It should be the place where all ideas and views get expressed. But controversies over free speech on campus are not new. In the early 1950s, during the McCarthy era, professors were fired, students were expelled just for being suspected being communist. In the 1960s, there were protests on campuses all across the country. At Berkeley, there was the free speech movement, which is about students wanting to be able to have speech unrelated to campus activities. Administrators were trying to stop it. When I was in college, there were the anti-Vietnam War protests, and colleges trying to stop those. So I think it's a mistake to think that today, all of a sudden, we've discovered that there's problems and issues with regard to free speech on campus.
And what form do those issues take in the modern day?
Well, many things make it different today than it used to be. One of those things is often now it's outsiders wanting to come onto campus and use the college or university as a platform for their speech. And so one of the high-profile instances that occurred a couple of years ago was Milo Yiannopoulos wanting to come onto the UC Berkeley campus and an outside group, Antifa, wanting to stop him. Where just last month there was an incident where an outsider to the Berkeley campus, a conservative, was trying to gather signatures, and an outsider to the Berkeley campus came and punched him after a verbal altercation. Neither of these individuals were faculty, staff, or students. It just by coincidence happened to occur on the Berkeley campus. I also think that there is a difference with regard to student attitudes. There's a survey by the Pew Research Institute that found that 43% of undergraduates believe that campuses should prohibit and punish offensive or hateful speech. I admire the impulse. This is the first generation to be taught from a young age that bullying is wrong, and they've internalized that message. On the other hand, I think often it's not with an awareness of the importance of free speech or the history of suppression of speech on college campuses.
What are the risks of this type of, I don't know, suppression might be too strong of a word, but of this type of activity?
I believe, as I said to you, the campus should be places where all ideas and views can be expressed. To me, it seems very dangerous if a campus is going to say that certain ideas and views are beyond the pale and can't be expressed. That ultimately it puts an enormous trust in campus administrators. I don't have that trust. I much rather would put trust in freedom of speech than trust in government officials.
And so what is the preferable way of doing business then?
I believe that campuses should be open to all ideas and views. That said, of course, campuses can have time, place, and manner restrictions in terms of where and when speech occurs. They can have time, place, and manner restrictions to prevent disruption of campus activities. They can have time, place, and manner restrictions so as to protect safety of faculty, staff, and students. That said, free speech is not absolute. There are instances where speech crosses the line. There's no right to threaten somebody. If speech causes a person to reasonably fear for imminent danger to his or physical safety, that's not protected by the First Amendment. Harassing speech is not protected by the First Amendment. And there's, of course, going to be difficult questions how to draw the line of what's a true threat or what's harassment.
President Trump recently signed an executive order that he said was intended to preserve free speech on college campuses. What does that consist of?
Interestingly, the executive order says almost nothing. It simply declares that the Office of Management and Budget and all federal agents should make sure that college universities that receive federal funds should protect, quote, freedom of inquiry. Of course, we're all in favor of freedom of inquiry. I think this is likely unconstitutional because it doesn't tell us what the conditions are. The law is clear whenever the federal government's going to put strings on federal money, it has to be clear about what the conditions are. This doesn't do that. Also, I think the president can't set these conditions. Only Congress can put conditions on federal money. I also think that it's undesirable because no campus administrator can tell from this language what it is that would jeopardize federal funds. No campus administrator can know what behavior is appropriate or what behavior isn't allowed under the executive order. It's simply too vague.
One of the most interesting developments in this whole debate over the last few years for me has been the rise of high-profile comedians who are now choosing not to play on college campuses. Jerry Seinfeld and Chris Rock were two of the biggest names. And that was particularly interesting to me because they're not inherently political in any way, but they're still running into these issues.
I think it's sad to hear of Jerry Seinfeld or Chris Rock not wanting to appear on college campuses. I think it's about something different than what we're discussing. It's not about the campus prohibiting them from coming. It's that when they say things that offend people, now on campuses, students will speak up and say, "We're offended." I don't mind students doing that. We all learn from a young age there's certain things we shouldn't say to others or say in public. Students are very sensitive right now. And if a comedian comes onto campus, like Jerry Seinfeld or Chris Rock, they're taking a risk that if they say something that offends people, those who are offended are going to speak out. I'd rather Seinfeld and Rock and others just have a thicker skin and come and take it, but obviously they don't want to.
Now, there's a similar situation where students have circulated petitions or expressed widespread opposition to certain speakers. I believe Condoleezza Rice was in that position a few years ago. She was going to be giving maybe a commencement address or some other type of speech at a campus, and enough students vocalized opposition to her presence that she decided to leave voluntarily. That seems to be, it's not the university saying we don't want this person. She was invited by the university, but then the students are kind of dictating what happens.
I want to draw a distinction between the students speaking up against somebody on campus and the students disrupting a speaker on campus. The former seems to me an exercise of free speech. The latter is unacceptable. If students want to sign a petition and say, "We don't want this person speaking at our commencement," that's the student's First Amendment right to do it. Campus officials can then decide how they want to respond. The speaker can decide how he or she wants to respond. But that's just students exercising their free speech right. If what the students are doing is engaging in speech that's not disruptive, that's protected by the First Amendment. I have no problem with the students signing a petition saying the person you invited to speak at commencement is unacceptable to us. What I'm saying isn't permissible under the First Amendment is for students to disrupt a speaker. And so if a speaker is shouted down so that he or she can't speak, that's not protected by the First Amendment.
I guess what I was describing is perhaps not in violation of the First Amendment, but there is a perception out there that there is a suppression of ideas on college campuses, whether or not it's in violation of a law. And it seems like the disallowing of certain speakers on campuses would kind of fall into that category, which is kind of antithetical to what a university should be about.
In there, too, it's an important distinction, though a different one that we were just discussing. The First Amendment says that the government can't take any action to suppress speech, subject to exceptions. On the other hand, there's often social pressures not to speak. And I worry within the classroom that there may be social pressures on students not to take certain positions. I worry that within the context of the university, those social pressures exist. And one of the things that I worry about as an administrator is what can I do so as to combat those social pressures so that students feel comfortable expressing all ideas and views.
Dean Erwin Chemerinsky of the University of California, Berkeley Law School, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.